Well, I appreciate your prayers again. A number of years ago, I worked as a surveyor in the coal mines, and we was given a job to connect two old workings that had a block of coal between them, probably a couple hundred feet long anyway. And our purpose was that they was going to drive off into a new area, and they didn't want to have to put their belt line around it. So they was going to drive a channel through it. They was going to drive, and our job was to point them from both directions through that block of coal until they could cut the coal through and to line up perfectly through it. And they was going to put their belt line in there. And these coal mining belts were, they had to be straight. If there could be a little tolerance, but if it was very much off, diverted, the belt wouldn't run on the structure. The belt would come off of the structure. It was simple as that. It's all it would do. And so when they started to do that, the boss had sent me in. I don't remember doing the initial survey, but he sent me afterwards to point through there. And the mine superintendent come to me and said, I told the boss, you all can't do it. I said, I don't believe you at all. I said, I'm going to have to see that you can do that, because I ain't going to believe it. Because I don't think you all know what you're doing, and I don't think you can do it. Well, that's an opinion. But I had a job to do, but that put the pressure on. I remember how much pressure there was on. That's a fairly simple job what we was doing, but it became very complicated when they started saying you can't do it. And it was very important that it be on, see. Well, when we got it, and they drove through, and we pointed them through, and I turned it on there, I was very, very pleased to see that we was in tolerance. We had made it. It worked. But you know, it wasn't about opinion. It wasn't about opinion. No. It wasn't what we got together and thought about it. It wasn't even professional integrity or professional ethics. Had nothing to do with it. The fact of it was this. If it wasn't right, the belt wouldn't run on it. That was the whole proof of it. And we had a margin of error that we had to come in within, or it didn't work. And all the opinions, we could have sat and argued about it, or we could have said this is how good we like to be. But the bottom line of it is if we didn't come within the margin of error, then it wouldn't work. And I'd like to think tonight, the Lord's put on my heart this thought, the margin of error. Do you know, I believe very much in being saved and sanctified. I believe in the experience totally, but I will testify for myself. I've not got an experience that keeps me from being wrong. Somebody come up to me a couple years ago and said, Brother Marty, I can tell you something about yourself. Oh, well, let's hear it. You don't like to be wrong. I thought I was the only one that knew that. But obviously it was open to her. She said, you don't like to be wrong. Well, we'll tell you something tonight. I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to be wrong about anything. I don't like to be wrong. But I found out that it's better to have the right spirit than be right all the time. It's better to learn how to deal with wrongs than to think you don't have wrongs to start with. I find out that I'm wrong about a lot of things. I recently had something that I thought it. If you'd asked me, I'd have told you and thought it. And all of a sudden I got blindsided. And you know what? I was wrong. I was just wrong. I misjudged the whole situation. It looked like something obvious to me. And I was just wrong about it. I don't like being wrong. I don't like being wrong about the things that go around in my world. I don't like to be wrong about the things in my vehicle. I don't like to be wrong about trying to grow something. I don't like to do it wrong. I don't like to be wrong. But I find out that a lot of it is really neither here nor there. It doesn't really affect that much. We've got to learn how to deal with the wrong. But I do think there is some places that's very important that we're right. It's very important to be right. So I want to start tonight over in 2 Samuel, 6th chapter. Oh, let's see. I'll start with the 6th verse, but I want to comment on the first verses. David gathered up his men and was going to take the ark of the Lord to the city of David. So they go through all the proper procedures of doing it. God was pretty specific on how he wanted it handled. And he laid down some certain ways of handling the ark that had carried its way down through. And now David is going to transfer the ark from one location to another. It's very important to him that he done it. And he got the proper thing. Sounds like they had not only the proper men, the proper way of carrying it, made a new cart, the whole deal. Was doing it down pretty close to, within the tolerance, within the margin that they was allowed to do. They was working, packing this thing and doing it a certain way. And they had a great host of people going along with it. They were singing. They almost like they were celebrating the move and doing all this. And then we'll go to the 6th verse. And when they came to Nacon, threshing floor of Uzzah, put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. He had got out of the margin of error. God did not command to the mind of men something they couldn't do. And he hasn't to us either. There is nothing God has commanded that is beyond his grace for you and I to be able to fulfill the will of God. I don't believe there's anything that we can't do by the grace of God that he's commanded us to do. I think we can do it all. I think we can refrain from things we should refrain from. I think we can get a hold of things we should get a hold of. There's a way of doing it. God has established this way of doing it. God has established this. This seems so innocent. It sounded like the man was almost, even you could say, honorable for what he was doing. The ark was going to teeter and fall possibly. The man was there. He laid his hands to it. God was absolutely displeased. He went out of the margin of error that God expected for a man to do. He was outside of what God had said to do. You may say, what was his great error? There was an error here. A grievous error that this man made. But it wasn't just determined at the moment that he done it. He, if you read the story, it sounds like his brother, the son of Abinadi, was ahead of the ark. He was beside the ark, walking along beside it sounds like, and when it teetered, he put his hands to it. It was forbidden that he do it. He shouldn't have done it. But he did it. He'd probably done it out of instinct. He saw it, wouldn't you probably think that way? You're carrying something along, it starts to teeter or fall, that you might want to brace it up, something that you see valuable or important. But I think if we went back, we could find something about this error that this man made because he obviously didn't fear God. He obviously didn't have the proper amount of fear that God had required them to have to the things that were holy. When God says, leave your hands off of it, that's what God meant to do. But the problem was magnified here because It wasn't just him that it pertained to. Had it just been him, I don't think God would have done this. God could have done a lot of things, but I'm not sure that he would have done it. But what this man did was stated before all the people that you can lay your hand to it without consequence. And it put God into the place and the error become great. I say this to say, folks, we have a responsibility. As people of God, we have a responsibility not only for my own self, but I have a responsibility for everything that I do that pertains to the things of God. If I act ugly off of myself, that's one thing. But when I start acting ugly representing God, that's another. And when I begin to make the whole cause of God suffer because of the actions, I think I'm quickly getting outside of a margin of error. Something that God's going to be pleased with and put up and deal with. God quickly struck them down. This man was dead. I'm going to tell you, it disrupted the whole thing. They had a party going on and it was a great thing what was happening. And they was rejoicing. They had the ark. It was a big deal. And this one guy and his actions altered the whole thing. They quit the celebrating. As a matter of fact, David was in such a awe, and his fear of God was so high that he said, I ain't taking the ark. Lest something happen to us, I'm not going to take the ark. Because that's what God wanted the people to fear Him for and have this honor and respect for Him anyway. There's something greater than one man's life. When you begin to think that you are the one and this is all about you, or I think it's all about me and there's nothing else going on this, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quickly get outside the margin of error. This is bigger than what you are. It's bigger than what I am. It's bigger than us collectively even. It's much bigger than all that. And the Lord here was put into a place and God proved right here with this one man. This is not acceptable to me, nation of Israel. It's not acceptable. You need to have the fear of God. How often do we diminish the holy things? Well, I guess I'm going to get off into something here. I'm talking about this a little bit today, but it's a burden of my heart. I believe that the worship to God is sacred. I really believe that. When I first got interested in wanting to go to church, and I went to church, and the people that I had worshiped, this little sectarian church, was so disrespectful in service. Now, me being just a sinner, I looked at that and I said, why are they doing this? They're coming in before God. This is God of the universe. I knew hardly nothing. But I had a sense that God was God Almighty. And that you ought to reverence Him. You ought to fear the way you approach God. And they was coming in and the service had started and there'd be a couple of women talking back here about groceries and talking about shopping and talking about who they met and they would talk the whole service through. And there'd be a couple over here while the preacher was praying and they'd be talking not about the service, holy thing, just talking about talking. Well, I'll be honest with you, I was impressed when I come around the saints and they didn't do that. These other people did it and seemed hardly to do that. But you know, I still believe I know this is just a chapel. It's made of wood and stone. I know that. But you know, the worship of God's still sacred. It's still sacred. And my mind is I know we're in a time of technology and you can get anything, but don't you think it's a little out of the margin? Don't you think it's a little out of the margin to make the house, Jesus said, My Father's house is a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves? Don't you think of making it a den of business is nearly the same thing? Making it a time, we can't turn it off and leave it. It ought to be left out. The world should be left out. The terrors, everything should be left out. Isn't it sacred enough? Shouldn't we put it aside for a while? I mean, honestly, don't you think that you were outside the margin of what God would be pleased with? You're mixing the two, and I've seen it happen, and if you've ever done it, forgive me for pointing it, but I've seen times right in the middle of the service, the preaching's going, one of them's going, and a phone ring, and somebody get up in the service, hello? They say, walk out the door, yeah, hear this? And I'm thinking, Lord, help us. Honestly, Lord, help us. Is that as deep as it goes? Honestly. You know, I can't help them thinking there must be something spiritually happening here. Because we're dealing with God Almighty. God Almighty. David said, I ain't taking the ark until we see and know. So they left it at this person's house. Put it in the house. And the guy began to prosper. Everything he did prospered. He was blessed in all his doings. Do you know God isn't trying to penalize us? When we have the presence of God with us, we are blessed people. He's only saying, you can have me and be blessed, but if you handle me wrong, you'll die. You handle me wrong and you're going to be in a state of death. I'm not going to bless you when you go outside the margin of error. We're faulty. We're wrong. I can be wrong about a lot of things. We have this running debate up home and we're talking about whether dowsing, water witching is real. I'm not a believer. I'm a skeptic. Well, there's different ones believing all this, and we got this running. Somebody's wrong. It don't matter who's wrong. Whether it does or not, it doesn't matter. But you know, there's things we better be right about. And if it's okay for us to mix the worship of God with secular things, then maybe it's right. But I say it's not. I say the Lord desires and wants more honor and respect. That His blessings fall on us. He wants a full devotion from us. And it's outside the margin. And it isn't being critical, folks, but I want you to understand, if we didn't line that line up straight between that block, it isn't opinion. It don't work. You can't get the product out. It don't work. The belt won't stay in the structure. The coal will dump off on the floor. You don't get your product out. It's the same way. If the Lord doesn't bless us, we're a poor people. If the Lord's approval's not on us, we're a poor people. I don't think God would punish everybody because of the folly of sons. It will always go on. But Lord, help us. It goes much deeper than just that. Because the honest truth is, you cannot have a cell phone and still pack the world in with you. You can still be down with the things of the world and all those things, and just saying, Lord, help us to put a sacredness upon the things of God. It's valuable. Oh, look at another scripture. We want to look at the scripture over in 25th chapter of, well, let's go to the 7th chapter of Matthew first. Thirteenth verse, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Well, again, this is not a matter of us sitting together and saying, how straight, or will this do this or not? Do you know it don't work? If you wander from the straight and narrow, narrow meaning straight, meaning narrow and difficult passage, it's tight. The margin of error is slim. The broad way, you can go any way, here and there. You can incorporate into your life all your desires and wishes, and you can add to religion anything that you want to add to it or take away from it. You can do anything in the broad way, but the narrow way, you can't go through there with all the extras. No, thank the Lord. You got to go through the way the Lord said, because there's no room for anything else. And this is a fact. It's not opinion, not professional ethics here. You know what it is? It works or it don't. If you don't go the straight and narrow way, don't work. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be blessed. God ain't going to be with it. If it isn't straight and narrow way, in my own human mind, I'd add some things. You would add some things in our own way of wanting to have and desire things. We'd add some things. Make a little room. The only problem is when I put it on, I can't take it with me. It won't fit in the way. So there's a way that makes it work, that lines it up. And the tolerance, folks, the tolerance, it isn't talking about the feebleness of the human mind. But the tolerance is not that great. And I want us to think about it today because are we within God's approval? I don't think God, I think God knows that we're dust. He knows that we're dust. He knows that we're not capable of inhuman things. He knows He's the God. And He knows we're flesh. And we're faulty. And our minds aren't perfect. And we have errors of all kinds of different errors. But there's a tolerance. There's a margin of errors beyond the human. There's a tolerance in there that we must be holy. I can be wrong about things in my life. But I got to maintain a margin of accuracy in God. This says there's a straight gate. Now that's when people begin to argue the width of it or the adding of it. My mind always goes, then what does this mean? I can usually bring about all the arguments that has to do with worldly down to this argument. What does the straight and narrow mean? If you can incorporate your own wishes and desires into the program, what then does this mean? Over in the 23rd verse, same chapter. Matthew 7, 23. Now let's go back, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, you are outside the margin of error. But according to their own testimony, they prophesied in the name of Jesus. A lot do that. So not surprising there. There was some obvious miracles followed along. They cast out devils. They said they did. It was their testimony before the Lord. And wonderful works. But the Lord said, you didn't come in within the tolerance. You lacked something. I never knew you. You got yourself off on a belief that wasn't right, believing that you could do these things without having a relationship with me, without knowing me and me knowing you. You got outside the tolerance, your margin of error. It don't work. It don't work. All these things that you've done, as Paul said over in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said that I put my body under. What's he saying? I've got to find margin of error. I've got to be within the margin. I can't allow the desires of my flesh to allow me to outside the tolerance of God. I can't allow it to happen. If I give my flesh leeway, it will drag me towards things that's not pleasing to God. It'll cause me to be outside of what God would be pleased with. I'm not human. We'll always be human. I'm a human. You're a human. You're going to have human qualities. You'll have human failures. All the way through, there's no experience that God makes us not human. We will be human. We'll misjudge. We'll see things wrong. We will. That's not what he's talking about. There's a margin of error here. Paul said, I'll put my flesh down. I'm going to make it subservient to my soul. Instead of most usually the soul subservient to the flesh, he says, I'm going to put my flesh down every chance, opportunity I get. I'm going to pound it down, beat it down, work it down that I might, after I preach to others, hear and be cast away, rejected, reprobated, a reprobate. The Apostle Paul, after all of these great works, could he have been reprobated? This is the truth. Travel around a few miles, go to a few meetings, preach some messages. Won't save me. That ain't what saves me. I can be lost. And I know I can be lost. I don't like being wrong, but I especially don't want to be wrong about my soul. I don't want to think I'm right, going on, convinced that I'm right, and being outside the margin of error. To where I come before the Lord and say, all my life, or the end of my life, I had it down. This is what I've done. I got a list of things. And the Lord say, I never knew you. Jesus went on and said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. What the Lord had just taught in those chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, go and follow. Do these. Do these that you might be well within the margin, that you would be found right before God. Let's go ahead and look at another scripture. Over in Luke 12. In the 16th verse, it says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, he outside the margin of error. The night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided? Well, he misjudged some things. This man was wrong. He was wrong in his assumptions. He was wrong about what life's about. He was wrong about the value of eternity. He was wrong about how long his life would be. Oh, how often people make a grievous error in not being within the margin of when they're going to die. Well, who knows? Who could possibly understand tonight that your life may be creeping out? How many have wasted their time, error in time, error in what you're doing, not preparing? This man's great sin or error wasn't that he was a farmer. It wasn't that he had barns. It wasn't that he was going to make bigger barns. None of these things that had to do with life was his error. His error was that he never prepared for eternity. He never prepared. He looked and said, these things are well sufficient to keep me. I've got much laid up. I will be secure and sound in what I have. And he made an eternal error. Thou fool. You, all this time and opportunity that you've had to take care of life and the things of life. So Lord, help us to get it, maybe some things where we live, just as a challenge. The scripture says that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit the widows, orphans, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's scripture. Pretty plain scripture. Let's deal with that unspotted in the world. Who's to say? But are you within the margin? I think we live in the world. You've got to have some mind towards the world. So there's a mind to the world. There is a certain amount of the world that we are dealing with all the time. You can't hardly get around a fire without getting some smoke on you. I think there's a margin of error there of what we allow the world to do with us. We can be affected by the world, but the scripture says to be unspotted. Don't allow it to spot your life. Don't allow it to take from your experience in God. Don't allow that world to be a challenge to God and the love you have towards God. So that touches all of us. We have to consider, am I within the margin? Am I keeping the world at bay out of my life? Am I keeping God supreme? There was folks in Revelations, you want to read it in the second chapter of Revelation, the Lord commended them. Said, you're doing wonderful. You've judged those that were wrong. You did that. He commended them. And then he said, but got something against you. Because with all that you've done, you're quickly going outside the margin of error. They wasn't outside of it because God gave them a time and said, you're not there, but you better change. You need to get, you've lost your first love. The things that you're doing have been taken, even the things of God can be out of order. You know, you can get a calling of God and put the calling of God ahead of God himself. You can. You can use the things of God and put it outside of God himself. That's what these people done there. They done prophesied, they cast out devils, done these works and running wild to do it probably. But they lost something. And it was a margin. There's a place there. Well, husbands and wives, we represent God. We represent, in marriage, Christ and His church. You can't get no higher. We're representing that. For the husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, it's a challenge. Now, there's got to be a margin there. I'm going to have to make sure that I'm within the margin. I have dealt with it. I'm a man. So I deal with this. I got to deal with this concept. So I deal with it. I think I know what it means. Jesus gave his life. It's my duty to give my wife or my life. It's my duty to give my life for my wife. Literally, if I need to. To consecrate myself that I die for, I will die for. But you can die for somebody and not live for them. Well, we got Jesus for an example. But that's a challenge. Lord, help us. As men, to be within the margin of error. We're going to be responsible for it. All right, wives. Now, I know there's a lot of batting this around. But the scripture says, for a wife to be in subjection to her own husband. Now, I'm not a woman, so I don't deal with it like I do with a man. But I expected that the sisters ought to deal with it like that. Because you're going to be responsible for it. It's important that we show the world what it really is. Now, I run up against this all the time because, see, with me, I understand when you say that a private in the army ought to be in subjection to the sergeant. I understand that. I understand what practical applications that is. I understand what it means for to say a pupil is in subjection to the teacher. I can understand to say that the people are in subjection to the judge in a courtroom. But I come short with this one. So you're going to have to get it yourself. Because all these other ones, I understand exactly what it means. But this seems like we throw some ambiguity in this. All I'm concerned about is that everyone that wants to name the name of Christ will say, I got to be within the margin. I don't know to tell you, because I ain't dealt with it, like I'd say, Lord, I've got to know. You got to give this. Now, the other I have, which I got to know. But you need to pray till you find out what that means. Because you're responsible for that. And there is a margin of error in that. I know the human qualities will make us to always working this and dealing with the errors of our life. I know that. We got to be within the tolerance of what God said. So Lord, help us to be willing to search that out. The scripture says that we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. It seems like such an order. What's the tolerance here? What's the margin of error that I'm allowed in this? Almost none. No, I'm talking about the coal belt, the belt running. I'm talking about getting the product out. It's not an opinion. We can sit and think about the opinion and go, oh, God does this or God does that. But does it run? See what I'm saying? Does it work? It's got to work. The Spirit of the Lord has to be in. It's got to work. It's got to be blessed. It's not just an opinion. It's got to work. Marriages have to work. It's got to work. It's got to run through. It's got to have some product. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, all thy strength. Lord, help us. I love God that way. All right, here goes the preacher again. I say, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'd want to be in service. That's just me. But it seems to me like if I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'd want to do what He wants me to do. That's what it seems like. Within the tolerance, it seems to me like that if I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'd want to tell somebody about God. That's what it seems like. It seemed to me like if I really loved God, there'd be fruit to that and I'd be getting out something. Understand what I'm saying? There's a margin of error here, and when there's no fruit coming from it, I can't help from saying it's went outside the margin. There's error in it. And the way we think about it, we don't make excuses to why or take every chance we can to keep out of service. We make every chance that we can to be in it. And when we can't, we feel like, oh, I'm missing something. Because I don't get a go and hear about the Lord. I want to go. And then don't feel that way. You don't feel that way. I've not felt that way before. You know what I do when I feel that way? This is the way I've done my life. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Whether I feel like it or not. Because my emotions are probably one of the worst gauges. I mean, they'll just do anything. So I feel all charged up in the middle of the day. Can't wait for a prayer meeting tonight. Few things get me off on a tangent or something, and I'm saying, a prayer meeting. You know what I do? I rely on the commitment that I told the Lord. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to be there every time. So I go when I feel like it, and I go when I don't. Most of the time, I'm more blessed when I don't feel like it, and I go. And the Lord blesses because I back my passion with a covenant. Because, Lord, I love you. I told you I was going to serve you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I want to be within the tolerance of what God's will is for serving Him. I think as I travel country, excuse me for my observation, but as I look, I see a real indifference about it. I see a lethargy across the camp. It's all right if I do. And it's all right if I don't. And I'm thankful for the spatial singing, but my observation is sometimes of a meeting of a half week long, you're lucky to get one spatial song. I think it's sad because I thank God of all the people I've ever seen or listened to, the saints are blessed with the gift to sing. Not just because you're talented, because God proves it and blesses it. We need it. We totally need it. It's a part of who we are and we need it. We need it to stay within the margin. And to love your neighbor as yourself. It's a challenge to us. It's easy to spurn. It's easy to be self-drawn in. I don't have to touch them. They don't have to touch me. But Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I can't help from thinking God's going to have a tolerance on that. There's going to be things that come and happen. There's times of brutality. There's times that there's going to be a margin. There's going to be some tolerance. There's going to be... There was places in the scripture to where people would give beyond what was required. There was people that gave of their life, or they would make a covenant with the Lord about something. I won't cut my hair. There was covenant given. The what was they called? The oath of the Nazarene or whatever. There was things that they went beyond. The Nazarite. They went beyond. It was a Nazarite. They would go beyond to secure themselves. They would go beyond it. Maybe we need to... There's levels. That's what I'm saying. There's levels. There's tolerances. They went beyond. There's all kinds of things that happen. Sometimes wisdom is to stay, to make a gap between people. I believe that. There's tolerances of things. But he still said to love your neighbor as yourself. What does it mean? It means I feed him like I feed myself. I reach out to him as much as I can do it. Because this is what I'm supposed to be. There's a thought in all these things. Lord, help us. Over in the 25th of Matthew. Remember where Jesus told some of the disciples, unless they drink his blood and eat his flesh, they couldn't enter the kingdom. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who could hear it? It's too strange. And they walked no more with him. They went outside the tolerance. They went outside the margin. Some things are hard. Some things are difficult. Here in the 25th chapter, 14th verse says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He stepped outside the margin of error. There is a margin for not understanding. Only if you never had the opportunity to know. Ignorance is no excuse if it's brought on by yourself. I don't know because I don't want to know. I touched the ark because I didn't know no better. But I could have. I should have. I should have. That guy that was walking beside the ark should have had such fear of God that he wouldn't have been nowhere close to it. It's what God struck him down for, that Israel would know. Stay out of those areas. To deal with God is a awesome thing. Don't flirt. Don't stay close it. He went outside. Seems like such a simple. And you know, some of the most grievous things in the scriptures seem to be some of the simplest. Struck a man down because he touched the ark. Struck Ananias and Sapphira down, who went way outside the margin of error. Because they withheld it, and only they lied. I mean, lied. Just a lie. It wasn't like they killed somebody. They lied. Who did he lie to? They went way outside the margin of error. It was going to hurt the whole thing. They stoned Achan to death. Because God said, take him and stone him to death. He went outside the margin of error. See, well, he just took some things. He'd done some things that was grievous to God. It had great symbolism in it. These things, this is the way, this man didn't seem like he'd done. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. It didn't like he run off and kept it for himself. But the Lord's condemnation on it was great. Because of what he could have done and what he did do. The capability, he had as much for his one as the five had for his. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought up 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath it shall he be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, for there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you see here how the one that had 10, arguments aside, it worked. It worked. He produced. That's the bottom line of all the arguments or all of this or does this. Can we do this? Can we do this? Well, why can't we wear this? Why can't we do this? Why should we do this? Why don't we do that? You know, bottom line is what rolls out the end of the conveyor. What rolled out here was a man that had 5 more. Rolled out 5 more. He was diligent. He worked with it. And there was a guy that got 1. So let's deal with the 1. What does the 1 mean to you? Because he didn't say anybody didn't get any. There was nobody that got nothing. Everybody got 1. You know what that means? It means you have 1. At least 1. And there's a margin of error on it. It needs to gain 1. Oh, it can gain 2, 3. But it needs to gain 1. There needs to be an increase. I don't stand up here and say the singers ought to sing because Marty Clevenger gets anything out of it other than the blessings. But if you don't, and you're supposed to, you may be outside the margin of error. If God is calling for you to pray and you don't, you might be outside the margin of error. If God is just calling you to be an encouragement, a help, or do whatever it is that God gave you to do, and you don't do it, it doesn't alter me that much, is what I'm saying. It's your error. And it's a fearful thing because to one he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. To this one he cast into outer darkness. But to the others he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. It makes me to know and to understand that there is a margin of error. There is a place to be faithfully in God. I believe the grace of God, and only by the grace of God can we maintain that straight and narrow, that place where I'm within tolerance, the place where the coal runs out the end, the product is done. I believe it's only by the grace of God. We have to seek the grace of God for that. You have a talent. No, yeah, I believe you do. I believe everybody does. You have a talent that God wants to utilize in His church. He's got a talent. We have responsibilities. He told the aged men what to be. He told the aged women what to be. He told the young ones what to be. He told them how to react. He told them how to respond. He told the preachers what to, he gave instructions to the ministers, to the deacons, to the pastors. He gave instructions, and on each one of them, there's a tolerance of what we ought to be and ought to do. And Lord, help us to be able to fulfill that. I'm going to repeat it. I don't like to be wrong. And I sure don't want to be wrong about this. I can honestly say I put in some time. I don't want the time to be wasted. I want to be right. Lord, help me. Humble. Humility will sure help you to be within the tolerance. Pride will drag you out of there. Way out of the margin. I want to be right. You pray for me.